Welcome back to Becoming Next on Scene, everybody. It is your host, Jackie Zook. It is another awesome day for another awesome episode of How to Become Next on Scene in your field of business or in your passion. Before I bring on my amazing guest, I always like to start with a marketing tip to get your week started. And that can definitely be incorporated into some self-care as well. My guest is super awesome, and we talk all about PR and cooking and Pookie and Jet, and we'll get more into that in a little bit. But before we bring her on, my marketing tip of the day is to really, when it comes to like putting yourself out there and getting visibility on your brand, it's really important to get to know the people on a deep level that are really spotlighting stories. And today my guest talks more in depth about that, of like how she likes to perceive her leads and press releases and things like that. And I think every single person has their own outlook on the way that they like to be reached out to, that doesn't feel very like salesy, or, you know, I really think getting deep with people on a personal level is really what sets you apart. And paying attention to what people do is really important too. And this is not even just in business, this is on a personal level. Like, people want to feel acknowledged and loved and supported for what they do. And we all like to help. We're nurturers in this world, you know, and I think the best way that you can make yourself, you know, more impactful is to really do some research on who you're reaching out to and what they're covering, and is it relevant the time that you're reaching out to them. I think it's really important when it comes to all those things, especially from a PR side, but even when it comes on a personal level of like creating new friendships and relationships. Like, do you share things in common with them? You know, like, I think it's important to acknowledge that in all areas of your life, and I think more doors will open up for you when you start doing that. So now I'm really excited to bring on my amazing guest. We have the fabulous Christina Rex, who is a general assignment reporter at WBZ in Boston. She has an amazing news background. We talk all about her background, some key tips on how to get yourself, you know, into the news and what really attracts them, what kind of turns them off, and all the things. So I hope you learned some awesome things, and I can't wait for you to get to know Christina.
The ups, the downs, and all the in-between. What it takes to become next on scene. Are you next? Follow us at Next on Scene.
Welcome back to Becoming Next on Scene, everybody. I'm so excited to be here with the amazing Christina Rex. She is one incredible general assignment reporter at WBZ in Boston. Christina, thank you for making the time today.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Of course. And of course, I love how you told me in real time you're in a courtroom making the time for this podcast. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. I'm in the hallway. We're waiting for a verdict in a case I've been covering. So it's life
for a
on the
while,
road.
Right? This has been going on for a while.
Yeah, it's been an interesting full circle moment, because I was working nights back when this kind of first broke, and the little girl in this case was reported missing. And so I was the one who went and covered when that started. And then now here I am waiting for a verdict. So followed it all the way through.
Oh my God. Amazing. So you have such a cool background. Like, you are originally from Mass, but you were in Maine for a while and reporting, right? Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about your backstory and how you fell into the world of news?
Yeah. So I grew up in Andover, Massachusetts. I now live in Andover, Massachusetts. Okay. So another full circle moment. How did I fall into the world of news? I'm going to try and tell you the story as quickly as possible. Basically, I have too many interests, and I always have. And so I never quite knew what I wanted to do, because I was interested in too many things. And I always loved public speaking, and I performed as a kid. And so I was never really shy. My little sister, Katie, has albinism. So she's albino, which is a term we don't usually use, but she has white hair, white skin, and very low vision. And so we as a family used to go to conferences for people with albinism. And so we were at a conference when I was a senior in high school, and Juju Chang, who was on Nightline at the time, I believe. Sorry, quick announcement. Juju Chang, who was on Nightline at the time, gave a speech about some undercover reporting she had done. And I was just completely fascinated by her. And it kind of started to give me this idea that maybe journalism was the kind of place where I could keep learning and be a perpetual student and kind of dive into my various interests while also combining that like public speaking, performing side of things that I had always had. And so I did a couple internships in college and I loved it. And I have done it ever since.
Amazing.
And my first job was in Bangor, Maine, as what's known as an MMJ. So I shot, edited all my own stuff and did my own live shots. Then I moved to Portland, Maine, did the same thing and did some investigative reporting. And I started in Boston in 2018.
So what's been your most memorable story you've covered thus far?
I should have prepared an answer for this because that is something everybody always asks. Oh. So it's really hard to pick one. Because there's been a lot.
More than one. You could save more than one, but just most.
I mean, I would say memorable, as in it was just such a crazy time, was probably the Merrimack Valley gas explosions back in 2018. I had only worked at WBZ for about 3 weeks, and I was freelance, and I was living with my parents in Andover at the time. And it was my one day off in a 14-day stretch, and my whole town and all the surrounding towns houses literally started blowing up. And at the time we turned on Channel 7 because it was early enough that BZ didn't have a newscast on yet. Mm-hmm. And Channel 7 had like the chopper up and it was like houses on fire, gas explosions in the Merrimack Valley. So we got evacuated. We got a reverse 911 call. And then I ended up working all night. And for the next several days, going on the phone on our landline on the air by phone with BZ because they couldn't even get like cars into town. So that was memorable because it was just crazy. And it was the kind of thing where when I moved back home, I said to my mom, like, oh, Andover is such a sleepy little town. Like I'll never be doing stories there. And then like within two weeks, one of the most
impactful ones. That's hilarious.
Yes, exactly.
So what's a goal you have for yourself as a reporter? Like where do you see yourself going in the next couple of like years? Like what are some goals you have?
So Boston is home and it's where I would like to stay long term. We've pretty much settled down here. And I really want to do investigative reporting. That's what I've always loved. And I love general assignment because I love like breaking news and kind of the fast pace of it. But my most memorable stories other than the gas explosions are ones where I feel like I've made a difference, which oftentimes has been more investigative type reporting. And I hope to be able to do more of that. I'm actually in law school right now, part-time, in the hopes that I can kind of combine law and journalism
Art.
And do some deeper dive investigative reporting.
I love it. So like criminal law, ideally, or?
That's what I'm studying, criminal law, like a lot of First Amendment government type stuff. Yeah.
So cool. What a vast background. Yeah. That's like so fascinating. Listen, you'll always know how to protect yourself.
Right? Exactly. It's another tool in my tool belt, you know?
I love it. All right, Christina, tell us a day in the life of you. So you wake up, what time? What's the day like for you?
Okay. A typical day in the life. We're talking weekday, right? Okay. I assume.
Yes.
Okay. I get up. If I'm being good, around 5:50, and I go to a 6:15 Orange Theory class, which gets out at 7:15. I'll come home, and I don't technically have to be at work until 10. So that's like some really nice me time. I'll come home. I'll shower. I'll listen every day. I listen to the New York Times app, the headlines, and then the daily podcast every single day. So while I'm getting ready, while I'm having coffee, I'll do that. I'll get ready for work. I'll pack the lunch. And a lot of times I'll pack a dinner as well, because once I leave, I'm gone all day. I'll go to work. We have a 10 o'clock editorial meeting. I'll spend the whole day doing my story, running out, getting interviews, logging, writing, working with a photographer. I'll go live at 5 o'clock. And then we do a taped story at 6 o'clock usually. And then I'll write a web script for our website. Then I'm done with work and I go as fast as I can over to class, which I have 4 nights a week. And I'll go to class until anywhere between 8:30 and 10. My classes get out.
Wow.
And then I'll go home and go to bed. We'll do the whole thing the next day.
love the hustler mode. That's how you get things done, right?
Yeah. I love Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. They're a lot chiller.
I'm sure. So you went to Phillips too growing up, right?
I did. Yep.
So cool. What was that experience like?
It was crazy. I was a day student because I grew up in Andover. I honestly applied there when I was a kid. This is so bad. Sorry, Phillips, I love you. I applied because like all the smart kids applied to Phillips and I was like, I want to see if I can get in. It was like a competition with myself. And I like fully planned on going to Andover High, like no qualms about it. And then I got in and I got a full tuition scholarship. So then I
Amazing.
had to go. And it was amazing. It was very, very high pressure, but I kind of thrive in those environments. It was a very cool experience. My little brother ended up going after me. My parents, my dad ended up coaching there. So it's like the school now has become like a part of my
Part of the
family's life.
family. I love it.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
obviously my show is called like Next on Scene. Can you give some examples to people? Because you probably get pitched all the time. Like, what are things that like completely turn you off? Things that people could consider when they reach out to you, like things like that. That would be great if you could share some tips around that.
Like PR pitches, you mean?
Yes.
I would say things that are total turnoffs are when it's just so obviously like a desire for a free commercial. Very rarely, as in almost never, with the exception of like we have a morning show where sometimes people can come and show off their products and do live segments. Other than that, like never ever are we doing stories that are just like, look how cool this thing is. So there isn't some kind of news connection or news hook, it's really hard for us to do a story. So kind of the best things people can do, especially if it's like personal services, is almost pitching themselves to us as an expert. So like, for example, I did a story in Brockton. They've been having some violence issues in their schools. And the day I was doing the story and the day that news was breaking, we got an email from the National Association of School Resource Officers saying, "Hi, everyone. I assume you might be following this. We'd be happy to offer someone up for you to talk." And I jumped right on it because it was timely. You know, they got to put their branding out there. He had the shirt on, he had the name in the background, but it was timely and it was helpful. And he was an expert
It was like
resource for.
aligned. It was aligned with what you were covering.
Exactly. So, you know, for anybody who has a product or a business, if they can somehow connect that to current events in a way that they could be useful for a story while also benefiting from the coverage,
I love that.
that seems to be the best way those pitches can work.
No, I so appreciate that because I think a lot of people don't know what they don't know, right? And everybody
Right.
perceives pitching differently. So thank you for sharing that. I so
Of
appreciate it.
course.
So
Of
I was
course.
reading about like your fun facts you shared with me, and I need to ask you about this TikTok phase that you're like, who was it on TikTok? Hold on, you wrote it in my notes. So
Pookie,
it was
Pookie and
Pookie
Jet.
and Jet. Yes. I was like, who are these people? Tell me
Okay,
everything.
so you haven't heard of Pookie and Jet.
No,
Okay.
I have not.
So TikTok is like obviously a very strange dark hole, and it's just kind of what I do when I need a minute to decompress. And so I started getting this couple on my For You page, and I don't know anything about them. They just seem to be this like incredibly wealthy, well-dressed couple. And Pookie, the wife, her name's Campbell, is like stunning, like gorgeous, right? And her husband is like fine looking. And so they do these not get ready with me, but they do these like videos before they go out where she shows off her outfit and he comes in the video and he's like, "Pookie," he has a southern accent. He's like, "Pookie's looking absolutely fire tonight. Pookie, show everybody your outfit." And she does. And then he just like compliments her. And they're the kind of people who you see them and you're like, oh my God, they look so rich. Like you want to hate them, right? But something about them is just like so lovable. Like he is just completely infatuated with her. They do all these outfit videos and then their sound on TikTok kind of went viral because like who calls each other Pookie?
Right.
And so then I thought this was going to be on everyone's For You page. So then I started texting my friends and being like, "Are you on Pookie Talk?" And they were like, "What are you talking about? Like, literally, what are you talking about?" And I was like, "Oh my God, now this is embarrassing." So as soon as I texted them that, like, our phones are probably listening, right? And they immediately said they started getting the videos on their For You pages as well. And now this couple has just blown up. But I think the fascination for me is that people looked into Jet, the husband, and he is like a genius. He went to like Penn Law, I think, or Penn Business School, some big name Ivy, graduated valedictorian of his class, like is just so successful. And I'm like, Here and yet here he is being famous for calling his wife Pookie.
That's how it starts, though. It's on a personal level. I always say when people get personal, that's how you get in. Like, that's what
I say. Yeah, I just got fascinated by Pookie and Jet. They're all over my For You page.
I love it. I'm going to totally explore them now after our interview. Thank you
for that. Of course.
That's so awesome. So obviously now, like, your goal is to, like, get through law. What year are you in law school, by the way?
I'm a 3L out of 4 years. So I have 1 year
almost
left.
There. That's so exciting.
So close. It was kind of
are
a pandemic
going
project.
In Andover to school? Where are you in law school?
No, I go to New England Law in Boston.
Cool. My husband is a lawyer too. So that's why I was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Small yeah. World. So I go part time to New England.
Is your husband in, like, law too, or totally?
No, different? My husband is a nurse practitioner in orthopedics.
I love it.
Yeah.
Balance.
Yes. Totally opposite. I think we both love that we work in, like, very opposite lines of work, because there's plenty to talk about.
For sure. So outside of, like, law school and, like, what are some hobbies when you're not working, like, that you like to do?
We love going to concerts. So I go to a lot of live music, shows at, like, Broadway and Boston shows whenever I can. My brother lives in New York City, so shows in New York too, if I can.
Oh, fun.
I think last year I went to, like, 8 concerts. I probably spent way too much money on concerts last year, but it was worth it. So live music is a big thing. I love exercise, workout, good amount. It keeps me sane. I love cooking. I'm hosting it up. I love cooking, and I, like, love food, and I love trying new food. And so does my husband. So that's something we have in common. We, like, will always, like, when we travel together, we love traveling. So whenever we travel together, we'll just, like, make friends with people at a hotel or somebody local and just say, like, where should we eat? And then we trust them and we go. And then when we're there, we ask the waiter, like, what should we eat? We like anything. And we just, like, trust the process. And we've eaten some very strange, very cool things as a result. So this weekend I'm actually having, we bought my parents' house last year and renovated it, and we've hosted a couple of holidays with our families, but we haven't really had, like, a party with our friends yet. And we've been waiting to do that. So we're having my dream party this weekend, which is a dumpling potluck.
Cool.
Where the goal is stretch the idea of a dumpling as far as you can. And everybody's bringing their own version of a dumpling.
So cool.
Yeah.
Very creative. Very different.
Thank you.
Thanks. So what's going to be Christina's dumpling? What are you making?
I'm making regular, like, chicken Asian dumplings, but then I'm getting from the chateau in Andover, if you know, you know, I'm getting toasted ravioli. They have, like, fried raviolis from there. I have friends who are bringing, like, pulled pork dumplings, empanadas. I have some friends who are going to bring Uncrustables. They were like, that counts,
oh my
right?
God, I keep hearing about those
yep.
sound like
it counts
amazing.
Now
I love it. That's so creative. Yeah. I love the, like,
it'll be fun.
The creative side too. This is where you let out all your creativity, which I think.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
So cool. Well, this has been so inspiring. How can people, like, follow you, get in touch, all the things?
I'm on all the social medias. So on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram, I'm Christina Rex, or Christina Rex TV, with the TV at the end. And same thing on TikTok, actually, Christina Rex TV. So very easy to find.
Definitely.
And then if anybody ever wants to get in touch with, like, story ideas, my email is krex@cbs.com.
Thank you. And then in terms of lead time too, like, what would you suggest? Cause obviously you do a lot of breaking news stories. So what do you suggest to people in terms of, like, reaching out to you to make it relevant?
So shorter, the better. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking, like, give me, like, 2 days. Like, hey, this is happening on this day. I think it'd make a great news story because if it's, like, weeks in advance, we're unfortunately just, like, not planning that far. The news cycle is 24 hours. And so the closer to when something is happening, the better.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. That's, like, really important. Cause I think people think, oh, like, they probably plan in advance. Like, everyone's so different.
Yeah.
I
think people think we probably want a ton of lead time, but that's kind of how things tend to get forgotten because it's such a busy cycle.
For sure. Well, you are amazing. Thank you so much for
you're
making
very sweet. Today. Thank you.
It's true. Thank you for making the time, especially in the courtroom with a busy schedule.
Of course. It's very nice to meet you.
You too. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to Becoming Next on Scene. And stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.
The ups, the downs, and all the in-between. What it takes to become next on scene. Are you next? Follow us at Next on Scene.